So turn with me to John chapter 20, and we'll center our thoughts in this chapter that we read earlier in the service. So everyone likes a story, I think. Everyone like a story? I like stories. I think you probably like stories too. You grew up with stories. We love a story. Well, it's Easter Sunday. We're thinking about the Easter story. But the Easter story is huge. There are so many different facets to it. So many different streams. So many different threads to the Easter story. What I want to do this morning is to focus solely on a lady. Because I have a question for you. Who was the first person to meet the risen Lord Jesus? James, John, Peter, the apostles, the 12. Was it any of them? No, it wasn't. They weren't the first ones to the tomb. They weren't the first ones to meet the resurrected Lord Jesus. The first person to meet the risen Christ was Mary Magdalene. She was the first one there. So what do you know of Mary's story? The story of the events leading up to that. The story of where she came from. And the journey that she was on. What she saw, what she felt. And how she met the risen Lord Jesus. The story of Mary Magdalene. What do you know about her story? It was a story of deliverance. It's a story of devotion. Daring devotion. And it's a story of deep devotion. So let's go through that story. The title of the message is A Personal Story to the Resurrection. Firstly, a story of deliverance. Mary's story is a story of deliverance. Mary Magdalene was a real person. Says it in the Bible. But not only that, secular historians also believe that Mary Magdalene was a real person, a true person who existed. So don't just think about Mary in the Bible, as just Christians believe about her. It's broader than that. The Bible is attested by people outside the church, as well as inside the church. Don't confuse Mary Magdalene with Mary, the mother of Jesus, or the other Marys. There were six Marys mentioned in the gospel accounts. Mary Magdalene was from Magdalene, or Magdala, a place, the southwestern location of the Sea of Galilee. If you look on Wikipedia about Mary Magdalene, you'll see there's more content about Mary Magdalene than there is about the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, the Virgin Mary. There's more about Mary Magdalene than any of them on Wikipedia. And I think that goes to show that there's a lot of speculation about who Mary was and what she did. Dan Brown, in his book, The Da Vinci Code, picks up on Mary Magdalene. Other writers, conspiracy theory writers, pick up on Mary Magdalene. Some people think Mary was the lady who anointed the feet of Jesus, who wept and wiped his feet with her tears and the hairs of her head in Luke chapter 7. But I don't think it was her. He doesn't specifically name her as being that person. Maybe it was one of the other Marys. Maybe a different woman. So we need to get back to what does the Bible say about Mary? Because that's the true historical record that we have of her life. The city of Magdala had a reputation for prostitution. People say, was Mary a prostitute? But we can't necessarily make that connection, despite the popular portrayals about who she was and the background that she came from. How many times is she mentioned in the Gospels? Mary is mentioned 12 times by all four Gospel writers. But what can we learn about her? What was her background? Well, we read of it in Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, where it says this. Now it came to pass afterward that as Jesus went through every village and city, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons. Out of whom had come seven demons. And not only was she there was Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. She was possessed by seven demons before she met the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can only imagine the emotional, the psychological trauma as she was battered and bruised by these evil demons who were possessing her. That her life was out of control. That her life was one of pain and darkness and hopelessness. She lost control. She lost dignity in her life as these demons were controlling her. It says there are seven demons. It's been suggested seven is a number of completeness. They had complete control over her. We can only imagine the suffering, the severe distress that she knew in her life. But she knew that she needed deliverance from these demons. She needed a new start. She needed a new story. We can only speculate about the time she met Jesus because it's not recorded for us here, but we know that she must have met him, that she must have looked into his eyes, that she must have seen the compassion, the grace, the love, the mercy, the kindness in the heart of Jesus Christ, the power in Jesus Christ, heard the tone of his voice, seen the look in his eye, and called to him for mercy, for grace, for forgiveness, for deliverance. Mary Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons. They'd not just come out of her for no reason. Jesus had delivered her and brought them out of her. And she had a peace. She had a joy. She had a freedom. She had a cleanness, a lightness. She'd been delivered by Christ. This was the start of her journey. This is the start of a new life for her. The start of a relationship with Jesus. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons. The question is, do you have a story with Jesus? She recognized her need of him. Do you recognize your need of Jesus this morning? The demons were controlling her life. That's something that's very rare today. In the life of Christ, it was prevalent. The devil's activity, knowing that the Christ, the light, God the Son was coming to earth, the devil was active. But what controls your life? Who's driving your life this morning? Is it ambition? What dominates your thinking? What do you get up for in the morning? What controls your outlook, your sense of well-being? The Bible says that God made us for himself, to know him, to worship him, to be the king of our lives. Is he king of your life this morning? Maybe like Mary at this point, you had no connection to Jesus, no connection to the living God. You have guilt. You have guilt on your shoulders, guilt in your heart. Maybe problems, mental, spiritual, physical problems. And guilt before God, the greatest problem. Guilt separates us from God. Guilt spoils our hearts, defiles our consciences, separates us from him. Maybe you need deliverance from your sins. Just like Mary Magdalene had deliverance. But Jesus offers forgiveness, cleansing. That's what Easter, the story of Easter, the Good Friday story about the cross of Christ, his power over sin, his power over the devil, his power over life, is all about. Mary knew deliverance. Do you know deliverance from your sin? Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ alone? You come to him and confessed your sin to him and taken him to be your Savior, like Mary. That's the start of the story, firstly. Secondly, the story of daring devotion. What did Mary do for Jesus? Well, verse 3, it says she was one of these women, like Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, who provided for Jesus from their substance. Maybe she was a wealthy woman. Maybe she had wealth to support Jesus and the band of the apostles from her substance. But her story doesn't end there. What role does she play on Good Friday? Well, Peter, James, and John are in the forefront, aren't they, in the Gospels, and the disciples, the apostles, they're at the forefront. But when it comes to Good Friday, they slip back. They go into the background, and it's the women that come into the foreground. And Mary Magdalene is named as one of those. She comes into focus. She witnesses the horrors of those events on Good Friday. And on Easter Sunday, she sees the cross. And back in John chapter 19 and verse 25, we see this and we hear this. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. She saw on the cross the one who delivered her from all those demons, the one who changed her life, the one who transformed her. She could see the blood. She saw the nails. She saw the pain. She saw the suffering of her Jesus on the cross. She tried to comfort him with the women. It's interesting, isn't it, that it was the women who were there. Why weren't the men there? Well, not all of the men were there. Maybe it's because they're less likely to be arrested. But they wouldn't abandon Jesus. When he was on the cross. And not only would they not abandon him there, but Luke tells us in Luke 23, 55 and 56, that they followed Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus when the body was taken down from the cross and taken to Joseph's tomb. They followed him. They watched him. They saw the body, the clothes, the grave clothes being put on the body with fine linen. They watched him. They knew the stone was there. They knew where it was. They knew the location. They followed him to the end, to his burial. They knew. And in the sadness, and in their hearts, and the sorrow, they knew where Jesus had been laid. And what was the role that they played, that Mary played on resurrection morning? Well, chapter 20 in verse 1 of John. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark. It's difficult for us to get into the shoes of Mary and understand the anguish that she was going through in her mind as her Jesus, the deliverer, the Savior, had been crucified, been buried, died, put into the tomb. The whole Sabbath day had gone through, and now, while it was still dark, she didn't need to set her alarm to wake up that morning. She had to go. She must go and see the Lord Jesus and see where he was. tells us in Mark as well that she took spices. She didn't go alone. There was another Mary who went with her, Salome. And they went together to see the Lord Jesus. What's the lesson from this part of her story? The lesson is this, that Mary had a daring devotion to Jesus Christ. She had a daring devotion to go to Jesus Christ. It's twilight. You wouldn't want to be a woman in Palestine while it was still dark, without the protection of men, going to the tomb at that time in the morning. It wasn't the done thing. It wasn't right. It wasn't safe. But her devotion was such that she was daring to go to be with him. What made it even more daring was that Christ had been crucified, put to death, because he was a blasphemer. The Sanhedrin, all the religious elite were united against Christ to put him to death. And by making that journey and going to that place, she was defying the authorities. Who stood with Jesus in the trial? No one. Who was on his side? No one. They were all against him. And now Mary, in stepping forward in that daring, devoted way, is putting herself against the entire religious system. The establishment. Jesus had been that focal point of national hatred. But she's got to be with him. She's got to be there. She's got to anoint the body. What was it that made her so daring? It was her love for him. It was her loyalty to him. It was her gratitude to him. That was what it was that made her devotion daring. It was daring devotion. It was her relationship with him over those 3 years, that deliverance that she'd had from those 7 demons. Now she was gripped by gratitude, dominated by devotion to him. So what is the lesson that we can take from this for ourselves? Well, this part of the story of her life, the first part is about deliverance. We all need deliverance by Jesus Christ from our sins to be cleansed. This part of the story, it teaches us that devotion and gratitude will make you and me daring for Jesus Christ in our Christian lives. When you're grateful, fear disappears. When you're grateful to Jesus Christ for what he's done for you, you will be able to stick your head above the parapet. You'll be able to take risks for him when you're devoted to him, when you love him, when you serve him. Gratitude makes you loyal to him. I must honor him in the circumstances of my life, no matter what it costs me, no matter where he calls me to go, no matter what he calls me to do. He is the one that matters. He is the center of my heart. He is the one who fills my mind and my life, my hope. He's my comfort. He is my all in all. Power of gratitude changes the way that you view your life. You see things differently. You see the world differently. Your priorities are different. Life is a place to give, not a place to get. You know, when we appreciate things, we become more and more attractive as people. More and more attractive as people. And attractive as Christians. There is a beauty here in Mary's devotion and loyalty to Jesus. She resonates devotion and love. She sacrifices. She risks. She's daring. And when we're grateful to him, we will resonate him. We will be more fulfilled. We will be happier in Christ. More grateful in the workplace. More grateful as an employee, more grateful as a parent, more grateful as a child, more grateful as a co-worker. Gratitude radiates. in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It makes us daring for him. So the story so far, deliverance, daring devotion to him. Let's look at the story as well as it moves on to deep devotion, verse 11 here. So Mary, she gets to the tomb, she sees the body's been taken away. She runs, she tells Simon Peter and the others, verse 2, whom Jesus loved, and says, "They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out with the other disciple as they were going to the tomb. And Peter and John, they come to the tomb. They see them there. They see the empty tomb. It says, verse 8, "He went in and he saw him, believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead." And then the disciples went away to their home. The disciples went away to their home. But not all the disciples. Verse 11. But Mary. Mary didn't go back. Mary stayed. We can see in her story the story of deep devotion to Jesus Christ. It wasn't a shallow devotion. It wasn't a shallow, "Oh, that's interesting. Now I'm off." No, there was a deep devotion here. She was at the tomb. Her heart took her back to the tomb. After she told the other disciples, the apostles, she had to be there. She was not moving from that place. She stood outside the tomb weeping. Sobbing. Unrestrained sobbing. The pain and the sorrow flowing out of her heart. Her eyes are blurred with tears. It's early in the morning. She sees a shadow in the tomb. She stoops down. She looks into the tomb. And she sees two angels in white, sitting one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus has been laid. It isn't people who messed about with the body of Jesus. There's two angels here, powerful messengers from God. They have a message for the woman who lingered, for the woman who had deep devotion. There was a message just for her. There was a blessing just for her. "Why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord. And I do not know," verse 13, "do not know where they have laid him." Is resurrection in her mind here? No, it isn't. She's still looking for a dead master, a dead Lord. I don't know where they've laid him. There's no idea, no thought of resurrection. Even though Jesus had said so many times, "I'm going to rise again. I'm going to rise again. I'm going to go to my Father." She just didn't believe it or didn't understand it. She's sobbing these tears, but they're tears of unbelief. "Why are you weeping? Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Verse 14, "Now when she had said this," what happens? She's brokenhearted. She feels forsaken. She feels alone. She has no explanation. She does not know where he is. This woman who'd been rescued, delivered from these seven demons, had known what it was to be in the presence of Jesus, to know his words, to love him, to trust him, to believe him, to delight in him, to come to him, for him to be her all in all. And now he's gone, and I don't know where he is. Verse 14, "Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus." Why didn't she know? She just didn't know that it was him. But she's lingering. She's here. She doesn't know it's Jesus. She's blind to him. She lingers at the tomb, hoping to find him dead. Jesus is lingering at the tomb to show himself alive to her. She lingered out of love for Jesus. Jesus is here because he loves her. He wants to meet her. He wants to speak to her. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Verse 15. She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." She didn't recognize him. And Jesus says those words, verse 16. He just said one word, actually. He just says, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which means to say, "teacher." He calls her by name. She knows his voice. Yeah, she's one of his sheep. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Mary, she knew that tone. She knew it was him. What does she do? She falls at his feet. She grabs hold of him. She takes hold of him. Verse 17, Jesus says to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." You see, the sorrow and the pain and the suffering was so deep for her, and the anguish that she had, that a natural instinct, when she recognizes it's Jesus, he just flings her arms over him. "I thought he'd gone. I thought I might never see him again. Everything is lost and dark and difficult. But now he's here." She's all over him. She's clinging to him. So Jesus says, "Don't cling to me. I've got to go to my Father soon. You can't cling to me forever." But doesn't this show the deep devotion? Any inhibitions gone. The fear is gone. She is embracing and clinging to this risen Lord Jesus Christ. What a moving, intimate account we have of Mary's personal story. A story which started with her deliverance. A story of daring devotion to come to the tomb, to come early, to take those risks. And now a story, this deep devotion. She is before him. Well, what does the Lord want her to do? He wants her to go, doesn't he? Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Mary's an eyewitness account. She has an eyewitness account of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. When she leaves her resurrected Lord and Savior and King, when she goes from there to see the disciples, what do you think she would say? She would say a number of things. There are a number of lessons for us here. Mary, what would you say? What are the lessons from the story of your life? What are the things that you're going to say to these disciples? Because they're exactly the same as the things that she would say if she was standing here this morning. As an eyewitness account, an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first lesson we have from this deep devotion is that death is defeated. That's the thing. Where is he? Where's my Lord? He's taken. I know he's dead. Where's the body? I want to anoint him. And here, she knows he is not dead anymore. He is risen. That death has been defeated by Jesus Christ. All of us wrestle with death. All of us have to face death. Death is that reality in our lives. In this world, we hate death. Death is an invader. When God created the world in the beginning, where there was no sin, there was no death. There's only death because sin came into the world. And if we die before the return of the Lord Jesus, there will be a gravestone. There will be a book of remembrance. There will be something for every rich, poor, celebrity, unknown person in the world. Death is final. Death has not been overcome by modern medicine. Death and decay swallows up everything in its path. But Mary came and told the disciple that she'd seen the Lord, that he's overcome death, that death is defeated, death is destroyed by Jesus Christ. He's conquered as the king comes to conquer an enemy. Death, the enemy which defeats everybody, has been defeated by the king, by Christ. She says, I know it because I saw him. Not only did I see him, I hugged him. I felt him. I knew him as I embraced him. He is alive. And the Lord Jesus is the guarantee that every one of his disciples, every believer in Jesus Christ, will be raised like he is, raised to life, raised to salvation, raised to eternal life and a new heavens and in a new earth, with a new start and a new beginning. Death is defeated. Love is won. Christ has conquered. Lesson number one, death is defeated. Lesson number two, doubts are not condemned by Jesus. Mary Magdalene, she said, I've seen the Lord. And the disciples say, what? We were all looking for a dead body. They were full of doubts and unbelief. But Jesus is so kind to her and to the disciples. Where is the rebuke here? From the angel, from Jesus. I told you I was going to raise from the dead. Why are you looking for my dead body? I told you so many times. Now, Jesus is kind to us even when we doubt. No rebuke here. Not told off for unbelief. He knows our doubts. He knows sometimes we can doubt. He knows sometimes we're frail, we become skeptical, we're tempted to doubt. He knows unbelief can grip us at times, but he's kind to us. We can come to him. We can confess it to him. We can pray for grace, for faith, to believe the words of the eyewitness accounts. That he is not here. He is risen. If you have doubts this morning, confess them to him. Say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. He's kind and gracious. Death is defeated. Doubts are not condemned by Jesus here. Third lesson. Stay close to the Lord and you will be blessed. Stay close to the Lord and you will be blessed. Those who love Christ the strongest and the longest will know the most blessing in their lives. Mary's love here, Mary's lingering at the tomb, reaped a rich reward of privilege. She saw the angels. Did Peter, James and John see the angels? No. The women saw them. Mary saw them. A blessing for her. She heard them speak those comforting words. She was the first to see the Lord who rose from the dead. First to hear his voice. First to hold a conversation with him. First to embrace him. Are these things not written for our learning? That to linger by the tomb, as it were, is the best place? This incident is recorded for generations to come. It's written down in Scripture. She's honored by Christ for her loyalty and devotion, deep devotion to him. We all have different degrees of faith, different degrees of courage, different degrees of joy or knowledge or wisdom. Christians are different. But in our journey of faith, if we devote ourselves to Christ, if we come out of gratitude for our deliverance. If we're daring for him, if we have that deep devotion to him, the Lord draws near. He blesses us by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. When by faith we lay hold on him, when we come to him in prayer, when we devote ourselves to reading his word, when we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. By the Holy Spirit in our hearts. When we wait on him, when we wait on the Lord in faith and in prayer, he comes to us through the word. He blesses our hearts. Stay close to the Lord Jesus. Linger by him. And you will be blessed. Mary is a woman of strong faith. Healed of 7 demons. Loyal to him. Loyalty to him was unwavering. She was one of the few female disciples of Jesus. But what an important part and role she plays in the resurrection story. This is her personal story to the resurrection, of seeing the risen Lord and the joy, the blessing she experienced in his presence. Mary, a personal story. What does the Easter story mean to you personally? Has your story started? Is your story one of daring devotion to him, like Mary's? May God make it so, for his glory. Is your devotion deep, like Mary's? What an example she is to us. In this Easter time, as we believe these things, as we meditate on these things, as we muse on things, may the Lord stir our hearts in devotion and wonder. May God make it so in our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this story of Mary Magdalene and how you delivered her from those 7 demons. And how, Lord, you worked within her heart so that she was devoted to you. And she was daring to take risks for you. And her devotion was not shallow, it was deep. We see that in her lingering by the tomb, in her waiting, the blessing that she received. We pray that by the Holy Spirit, through your truth, that you would fuel our hearts with your love and with that devotion, with that gratitude, with that desire to linger, to honour you. Lord, may you draw near to us. May you bless us in your word. May you bless us in prayer. May you bless us in worship. Over this Easter time and beyond in our story, in the story and the journey of faith. Bless us then, we pray. Our eyes are upon you, for we ask this in the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.